This is another live radio link up brought to you by the Government Communications GCIS.
Seven minutes past six. Good evening to you and welcome to this special program. It's brought to you by Government Communication and Information System. And it's with the community radio stations in Limpopo. And just to mention those radio stations, we are talking ZBFM. We are talking Muhodi. Akore Gibone Mo Hore Rehasatri. Kotswamo Diphaposing Kaso Tsarena Mo Tswani. And my name is Mosotho Stone, and we are going to be discussing understanding sexual orientation, gender identity expression, and sex characteristics, and all the matters that go along with it. You are also welcome to give us a call or interact with us on 0800-142-446. 0800-142-446. It's a toll-free number. However, if you are using your cell phone, Unali Namhlongo is going to be receiving your calls and making sure that you go through. So immediately once you get to hear and speak to someone, give them your number back and he is going to call you back. Ragamogela Motheletsi, you are in the Limpopo province, and I'm still looking for telling you who are those radio stations that are participating tonight. And I'm looking at Zebediela FM, Turf FM Kumangwing, and Makado FM in Lustrichard Kumakado, Muleji, Ramuleji Kwa, and Malamulela FM, Muhodi FM, Sikukuni FM, as well as Tabanchu FM. And without any further delay, let me just bring on board, let me just bring Aus Patricia Nyamandi. She's with the senior legal admin. She's with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development as a senior legal admin officer. So we'll be looking into highlighting the departmental's efforts in ensuring that protection against violence and discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender and expression, as well as characteristics. You know, we talk as much as possible. How are our schools doing? How are our universities doing? And how far are we in terms of, you know, correcting the forms that we normally use either to apply for work, to apply for help? I mean, we're creating public awareness, you know, on the work of the LGBTQI task team. There is a national task team as well as the provincial task team. And we are hopefully going to be joined also by Victor, Victor Raedani, who is also part of the national task team looking into Limpopo. I believe Ona... Aus Patricia is on the line with us. Aus Patricia, thank you so very much for joining us tonight. And welcome, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Let me just greet the listeners to this evening. It's a pleasure for us to come and represent the department.
Thank you so very much. And we'll be joined by Victor later. All right. It seems Victor Patricia. But nonetheless, I believe we should be able to make a conversation between me and you. Let's start by the departmental's efforts, particularly looking into curbing the scourge of gender-based violence. You know, it also goes along with the topic that, but mainly so now we're looking into sexual orientation, we're looking into gender identity, we're looking into expression, we're looking into characteristics, you know, the SOGI SC matters. And without falling short that, you know, gender-based violence is one of the core scourges that actually is influenced by such kind of topics. So let's get into what the department, particularly in Limpopo, is actually intervening on and giving support on to make sure that, you know, batho ba Limpopo ba tlhaloganya how to live lead the LGBTI community.
Right. No, thanks for that, Inkomo Sinene. If you can allow me to use my, you know, Limpopo has a number of languages that we're utilizing.
I like that. Let's do Limpopo South African.
Yes. Then I was telling one of my friends that it's not easy to can present in Sipedi, Tsonga, or Venda, but I'll try my level best to also include the local languages so everybody can hear us. Because now we have the local radio stations where you find that some of the people might not be able to follow when we're utilizing the language, the English language. Well, Limpopo, just like any other region or any other province when it comes to LGBTI, as per the mandate from the national office, we since back in, I think now it's more than 5 years, that we have a provincial task team that is focusing on LGBTIQ plus issues. We have the provincial task team that was established some years back, like I've indicated that it was as per the mandate of the national office. And that was due to the number of violence or number of hate speech that were recorded or received by the LGBTIQI plus. That was the biggest challenge, and I'm quite sure that's the reason why today we have the national task team, that's the reason today we have the provincial task team. So that's where we started as well. And maybe just to highlight the departmental effort, it was to, or is to ensure the protection against violence, discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, and the gender identity expression and sex characteristics that you've just mentioned. Another important point is that it's because, you know, Limpopo is a high-end, and we have to go to the hospital. I'm gay, or I'm lesbian, or I'm bisexual, all those kind of things. These are new things to most, especially bazali ba rena, bokokwa rena, and all that. Another aim that we were looking at was to educate, or is to educate the community members in our province. You know, it's how difficult it is. Uyam shate wa fika wa mamu tharitle jo to bodedishana le tshaba ka taba ya di lesbians and gays. Then that's where you realize that the community needs education on LGBTIQI plus. The challenges that you're going to experience there will indicate to you that there is a need for more education to our own communities, because you can imagine the discrimination that they are facing on a daily basis. And another point is to create a public awareness on the work environment of the LGBTIQ plus. And I think this one is not limited only to the LGBT. It also includes everyone in the work environment. The discrimination, the hate speech that it's been experienced out there, it also takes place as a work environment. Everybody might be looking at you and saying, hey, why are you gay? Hey, why are you gay? You know, those kind of things.
Funny looks, so, funny comments, funny.
So those things are there. It's important to sensitize those who are working on it, or those who are in a work environment on a daily basis, to understand that, hey, if now I've decided that I am lesbian, I'm still women, difference, and all that. So those are some of the things that the Limpopo province has been doing, and that's one of the reasons why we also have the provincial task team together with Wo, Victor, Dani, and other provincial task team members.
We are talking sexual orientation, gender identity expression, as well as sex characteristics, and we are talking with everybody in Limpopo who might believe or tolerate or not tolerate or be anything that they are. But at the end of the day, the topic exists. And the topic here, Pilan Leona, in our lives, in our houses. I mean, we are trying to curb gore bokoko le bontate moholo ba sa tshwara ke pelo a utlwa ngwana a re nna ke ratana le bashimane ka gore ke moshimane ebe jwale he o tshontse o ntse a lot of medical aid fees just because koko ya nngwe tshwere ke pelo ngwana o atlang ke tsa jwa, you know. And as much as Patricia is already alluding to say, Limpopo is a very rural province in which tradition is one of those orders of the day. And also being very open and frank about such kind of topics comes with a bit of difficulty, isn't it, Os Patricia?
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. Now, let's make it even more of a societal issue. We find that the Department of Justice is leading the campaigns to make awareness and all that stuff. And going into schools, we find that, you know, our kids, Lerona Haritene Skolo, you know, Os Patricia was going to be a taboo if Agatha Aper Burukubo Gray and then Mosotho Stone comes, Kadangari, you know, Kachuniki, and all of a sudden you have disrupted the whole school. Now, the tolerance in terms of school, how are you working with your stakeholders like Department of Basic Education to ensure that this kind of awareness is integrated into the school curriculum to ensure that, you know, the more the kids learn other things that are subject on the other side, life orientation also speaks to such kind of matters.
Yeah, that is very, very important actually to highlight to that. As I'm speaking to you, we are going to the Human Rights Month. Normally, during the Human Rights Month, that's where we engage with the Department of Education, the schools down there, the districts, so that we can visit the schools and then we educate them. And our Human Rights Month includes the LGBTI issues, the constitution itself, which speaks of the discrimination, section 9 and all that.
Yes.
So that's what we normally do. We engage them, though we might not be able to request or maybe guide them as to how best can they include them on their own school calendar when it comes to education on LGBTI, because you might need more info on it. However, we do our part as the Department of Justice, where we involve the stakeholders, local stakeholders who focus on LGBTI issues. We engage our South African Human Rights Commission, the CGA, South African Police Services, and other organizations so that they can form part of the team to can go and educate learners at the schools.
Mm-hmm. And getting into our traditional authorities, are we speaking to COCTA? Are we going directly to the Mahosi Arona? And so far, what kind of response and support are you also getting from the leadership, the traditional leadership across there? Because I know Limpopo in a little Mahosi. And at the end of the day, we'll find ourselves, you know, having Mahosi Island, or Kibatubaba Holo, who actually might have went to school, but you know, the heart does not resonate with the current situation.
Yeah, that is true. The similar approach that we undertook for the school education, sensitizing the learners and the teachers at the schools, the very same approach, though this time around is different because now we are going to the chiefs, Mahoshi ko Kukumahayeng Kakwa. And the first thing that assists us to succeed or maybe to have a successful public education with the chiefs is the consultation with them together with the COCTA department. We normally interact with the department, and then thereafter we also visit the areas. We identify the areas where we notice that there is a need for this education, and then that's when we take it from there. In most cases, we get a very good support from the chiefs, though it's not easy because some of them might say that, this is not what we are used to. This is new to us. But at the end of the day, what makes me happy is that they end up understanding our people's why we need to educate them. And we always sensitize or inform them that we, as the Department of Justice, we don't encourage young people or anyone to be a lesbian, because those are the things that you as a department, you are coming in here to teach our kids these kind of things. But we always say to them that we are not encouraging, but remember the Constitution does allow, and the Constitution does protect them. So we need to adhere to the Constitution as well. They are human beings. If you have a child who has decided that it's important to get counseling. We normally also engage the social development so that we have the social workers who can assist the family. Because remember, at times they are scared to come out of the closet. They will be discriminated, and some will end up being raped. So as the Department of Justice, our main aim is to inform, is to educate, is to sensitize the communities down there that banaba ke bana le bona ba tshwana le ngwana o wa bangwe ba bangwe a go tshintshang ntshumo. So that is what we are doing at the chief when we meet them.
All right. 0800-142-446. 0800-142-446. I tell you what, Os Patricia, I went through some of the documents here, and I found a very interesting thesis by a student, actually a well-developed, I don't know if he's a professor or a doctor right now, Ndate Daniel Lisibaletswalo. In 2016, he wrote a thesis on the challenges faced by gay and lesbian students at the University of Limpopo, Kotefluop campus. And if you remember that report, you know, I'm just going to because it's quite a very big report of 110 pages, so I can't even finish 110 pages in 1 hour. But, you know, the whole point that he mentioned in his introductions is that the study was used to focus groups where interaction was allowed between the researcher and the participants, and among the participants themselves, you know, additionally. So some of those was discrimination to be included. You know, having to apply for a job, there's a form that says, okay, Os Patricia is going to look at the gender part and tick F. Mosotho Stone is going to look at the form and tick M. But now, here's this community that is not categorizing itself within the two. And the form has been there, you know? And now, it limits their contribution towards society by being jobless, or they have to actually, you know, during the past decade, you know, the improvement, Hariboni as such. But as much as we must acknowledge that the department is doing well. So far, he is saying, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex individuals are also victims of general violence and crime. And that is a very big concern. That's where I ask myself, in terms of prosecutions, you know, the cases of assault, the cases of crime that come through, do they also clearly state out there to say it was not just murder, it was murder based on intolerance or something like that?
Actually, let me talk to the provincial task team, specifically the rapid response team.
Yes, ma'am.
The provincial task team is constituted by the Justice, is composed by the Department of Justice as the main coordinator. And then the National Prosecution Authority of South Africa is part of the provincial task team, even at the national level. The Legal Aid South Africa, Social Development, South African Police Services, Health, Education, Correctional Services.
Yes, yes.
There are a number of them. The Chapter 9s are there as well. The Public Protector, the Commission for Gender Equality, the South African, and many other organizations and departments, including the CSOs. So now, the reason why these organizations and departments are there is for them to ensure that cases that are reported are followed, especially from the NPA side. We have established the rapid response team, realizing that yes, we do have cases which are reported and then they are investigated, but now these cases go to court and then that's when comes in the NPA. Then the NPA has a responsibility to ensure that when they are presenting these cases before the court, they, especially maybe during the sentencing part, it should be stated that this was due to the fact that this violence was contributed by or this person is gay or this person is lesbian and all that. Mm-hmm. And we also encourage that there should be no secondary victimization against the LGBTI, because those are some of the things that they are experiencing. You will be discriminated today. Or let me give an example, that you might go to the Department of Justice or maybe to a clinic, and then you are discriminated, you are not assisted properly by those who are supposed to do that. And then the next thing, you take the matter to court, the court does the secondary victimization by not assisting you accordingly. So we do encourage that there should be no secondary victimization. And then when this the perpetrator is sentenced, then that should be stated so that it can assist the court to see that there was a hatred by this person against the LGBTI person.
Now, on another hand, we're looking at the literature review as you are talking, you know, on a daily basis. We've spoken about kiole ki gay, kiole ki lesbian, and the contemporary literature that's linked to that topic. You know, a range of literature has been included to indicate that many of these findings in older research are similar to those in more recent research. I mean, to a point that somebody might be listening to us right now and say, "Mare go tshentshile eng ka yang ka hore I'm still ngwana ko Limpopo, ke tsena ko Mankweng, ke tsena ko Univeni, you know, and I'm just going there because my parents wanted me to go to school. I can't go to Cape Town where it's a bit easier. You know, the environment is different from Western Cape, for instance. The environment is different from societies that find it easy. Now, our youths, in terms of the literature, you find that you have to deal with somebody, even your tutor, calling you stubborn and expect you to pass. So, what do we do in terms of, I'm still taking it back to the forms, you know, smaller yana things where there's M and F. And probably there could be an extra column that says LGBTQI. But, you know, things are dragging in terms of changing the narrative, the literature, as well as the perception in terms of just socializing around this. And particularly I'm looking into the youth, people who actually are jobless in this day and age, many of them. And probably I would say... I'm not sure about my percentages, but I would say there's quite a lot of LGBTI youth that might be unemployed because of such kind of perceptions.
Yeah, that is that you might be right, though I don't have any to support that. But
any facts whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Because that's actually why I'm talking about the literature, the narrative, and the way we write and do and speak things.
Mm. Yes, that might be true, because, you know, South Africa as a whole, it is not Limpopo only.
Mm, mm.
It's been a challenge for us to accept the LGBTI, we look at them and say that, what is this one going to do in our environment? You know, that kind of feeling. And the way we speak, it affects or it contributes as and when we do needs to appoint the LGBTIs. So those are some of the challenges that as a department or as the organization or institution we are facing. Hence, I've indicated that this also affects those who are working, whether it's a department or whether it's a radio station and all that, that we're still looking at them and saying, hey, that is gay, that one is gay, that one is lesbian.
Mm.
So those are some of the challenges. But what I can say to this is that if you feel or you've been, say that you've been discriminated by whoever or wherever, the improvement, the changes that are there within the government or within the South Africa as a country, is that you can bring your matters to the Equality Court. And the Equality Court is there to assist these cases, deal with these cases, whether it's discrimination, whether it's hate speech, and all those cases that relate to discrimination. The Equality Court is there to assist and deal with these cases. You can name them, bo harassment, I've already spoken about the hate speech, the unfair discrimination and all that.
Mm.
So those are the cases that can be brought to the Equality Court, meaning that community needs to also be informed about the Equality Court, that Equality Court is there to assist members of the community who have experienced this discrimination. And remember, Equality Court doesn't deal with the issues on lesbians and gays only. It also assists the community when it comes to discrimination and hate speech and all that. So this is the court that we all rely on when it comes to discrimination.
Lesbians, gays, bisexuals, transgender and intersex individuals are confronted by a multitude of challenges, and we have already alluded to quite many of them that are physical, that are mental, and all that. But now, let me just tell you, Jorge, there's also emotional problems, you know, where in this day and age, as Patricia, you'll know me and you, that mental health is such a very big thing. You know, we see a lot of suicides. We see a lot. Now, I can imagine. This was supposed to be a question for Uvikta, because I really would have loved to hear from somebody from the National Task Team who's actually at an operational level. But since you are here, let's talk about the emotional challenges, you know, such as both isolation, you know, internalization of homophobia, you know, all those kind of things where people, you just see a reaction, a fellow, ish, what did I do? I mean, where are we going in terms of making sure that, I mean, as a heterosex person and as somebody who's perceived in as a male, I might be having my own mental problems, but the detriment that comes with being part of the LGBTQ community. What are your experiences in terms of, you know, these emotional problems, the mental problems, the negative vibe, you know, isolation and all that? Yeah, it might sound like I'm repeating, but I'm looking into different angles so that maybe we look into how stress is confronted related to whether to disclose their sexual orientation to friends, you know, those kind of things. How do we go about, you know, maintaining a good mental health in such kind of challenges? And I know this has nothing to do with legal laws, Patricia, but, you know, just to share in terms of our experiences.
Well, on the especially the isolation part, it's important that you don't isolate. You don't isolate and you hide yourself. You don't talk to other young people. That is the biggest challenge, and we end up having the high number of mental issues in South Africa, because most youth they have challenges. It might not be LGBT issues, it might also be other issues that they're experiencing.
Yes,
so what
yes.
I can say is that let's not isolate. It's important to come out of the closet. If you know that you have made a decision that whatever decision that made you to see that I kirata mwanenyana kile mwanenyana or kirata mushimane kile mushimane and all that, then I'm quite sure you have seen or you have experienced that this is where I am. Come out, be show it to the community that this is who you are. However, for me, I would say that it's important for these young ones to get assistance, support from the family members. The parents also needs to be taken through this process. Hence, it's so important that the counseling part comes in. Hence, it's so important that the social development comes in and assists this family and as well as the LGBTI or the lesbian and gay person. So that tomorrow we shouldn't be having high number of young people isolating due to the fact that I'm gay or I'm lesbian. I know Victor, if he was here, he was going to state a lot about it because he's dealing with that on a daily basis.
Yes, most definitely.
But what I know is that isolation is not the solution. Coming out of the closet, that is the best answer to whatever that we are experiencing as being the LGBTI.
0800-142-446, 0800-142-446 is the number to dial. It's a toll-free number. And if you happen to be using your cell phone, you're welcome to call in, leave your number, and then we will call you back. And whether you are lesbian, you gay, or you straight, or you normal, or you just being a person, it will be very nice to hear your perspective. And, you know, I'm looking at the numbers here, and the numbers, like they say, they don't lie. It says here that, you know, one in three people. But before I get to that one, I believe I do have a caller on the line, and Ona is just waiting to get somebody there. And we have Salvation. Salvation is just calling from Rustenburg, listening online. Yes. Thanks to Gavin Sedler, we are all over the world. Hello, Salvation.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm awesome, man.
Welcome.
Look, I just have some key concerns regarding the LGBT community, you know?
Yes.
Especially when coming to the support of government. I apart from the, I think they do a host as a pride, like the pride marathon, I think so, or campaign, whereby they try to.
Oh, the gay pride.
Yes, and they try to give awareness to community, to other communities about their existence, their frustrations, their concerns, and their wishes, right? But I'm trying to understand from a government perspective, do we have a designated government department that deals with their concerns? That's number one. Two, I know that there are a lot of cases where there are serious crimes committed against them, whereby most of them are killed, especially in rural areas, because I believe it's because of lack of understanding or ignorance from our people. So I'd just like to know, what is government doing to ensure that, you know, they receive support in terms of you know, the community, the society accepting them fully. Yeah, because I think we are a country that comes from, you know, a past regime of apartheid where we were fighting based on who we are. You know, you were being hated for the color of your skin, for your race. Now it looks like the LGBT communities experience the same thing. They're being hated for their existence. You know, they're not hated because they're committing crime or fraud or corruption, but they're simply hated just by the virtue of their existence. So that's what I'm trying to understand. Is there any government department that is designated to assist them?
Thank you so much for that one, Salvation. You'll listen on online or on radio, all right?
All right. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much. That's Salvation. Ospet, just to support what Salvation is saying, I believe you did hear him quite very well, but these are the numbers I was talking about to say. You know, they found that 13% of LGBTI youth reported that they had changed school because of discrimination. 49% missed class more than once. 69% struggled to concentrate in class. 62% chose not to participate in questions or class discussions. And 57% achieved lower results in school and did not feel they acquired the skills they should have. Now, I know in cities it's a bit better. Salvation did mention it. In the rurals, your response?
My response to Salvation is that he wanted to know the department which is leading. The Department of Justice leading. Let me inform Salvation that in March 2011, the Minister of Justice was mandated to establish the National Task Team. It also, the department developed the National Intervention Strategy in order to address this, the homophobic, it was more on rape at that time. The department initiated or engagement with key departments, like which I've talked to social development subs and others. And then hence now today, as the Department of Justice is the one leading on the National Trust Team. The main purpose of the National Trust Team is to develop or was to develop a national intervention strategy for the LGBTIQI plus sector and to address the gender and the sexual orientation-based violence against the LGBTI persons. And then the National Intervention Strategy focuses as well on prevention, response, capacity building of public officials. That's what we've been talking to, that public officials do discriminate as well. Effective coordination of the establishment of the provincial rapid response that I've spoken to as well was part of the national intervention strategy, that it will assist as and when there is LGBTI cases that are reported in the provinces. Remember, this national provincial task team and the rapid response are at the provincial level as well.
Yes.
They are there at the national level, but now they have been escalated to the provincial level as well. And part of the work of the national or the provincial task team is to provide a strategic guidance to amongst and others, the national rapid response team that I've spoken to, which also has a responsibility of ensuring that the cases are recorded accordingly and monitored accordingly. I think this is what we have indicated already, that the role of NPA there when it comes to these matters, are they being monitored? Are they being attended accordingly? And then also it involves the frustrating. You can imagine the frustrating when case are not being moved, or there is no movement at all on your case that has been reported in the South African Police Services. We do have those kind of cases, but when you have the rapid response team, that's when you come in and say that this this case has been hanging and it needs to be attended speedily. So hence we have the provincial and the national task team to attend to these cases. So it also includes the public education, the gay pride. It's also hosted in our province as well. It's a yearly event that is hosted. It's only the main aim is to inform the community that this is all about gay and lesbians. Be aware that we are human and all that. They don't discriminate, don't kill, don't rape us. So that has been done. Like I've also spoken about going to the department, taking initiatives and going to the rural areas where the chiefs, where the people down there in the far-flung areas of the province, and be educated. Like I said, that it's not easy, but we are winning, because at the end of the day, the traditional leaders, the elderly, they understand, they end up understanding the LGBTI. And amazingly, they will be asking you a lot of questions about the LGBTI. And the good part is that when we do this outreach, it's not the Department of Justice. It's not the Department of Justice only. The Department of Justice talks about the role of the department. Now, the CSOs, they speak about the role of being a lesbian. How does it, where do they come from? How does it feel? How did they come out and all that? So we are doing that as well in our province.
0800-142-446. So he dropped. And then now we got Tsepo on the line. Hello, Tsepo.
What is it really that the government is doing, the Department of Justice is doing, in collaboration with maybe the Department of Basic Education, beyond just raising awareness, to make sure there are issues be addressed. For example, you mentioned an issue of school uniform. There were calls to say school uniforms should also cover LGBT. So ke putsa gore na ba dimeletse gore ke le ngwanenyana ke tle ke apere borogo, ke le mosimane gay ke tle ke apere roko. So those are the things ke le gore ke putsa gore is there maybe a policy to say you are welcome to do that. Bathrooms, some things that we may talk about. Are they accepted gore ke mosimane but I can use bathroom yellow or in Kinaka Shumisha because I'm allowed to do that.
Thank you so much. Ke gona fela ke re a botsepo.
Ke gona fela.
Ke le wile kuduga mat. Thank you so much. And Ospet, do you want to add something? Because it seems to be almost the same sentiment as Salvation.
No, I didn't get about Tsepo well, but
well, maybe for those who didn't also hear, Ubuaka, you know, public facilities that we have to use, particularly in our universities, in our government establishments, he's asking the same thing that what is government doing? Because, you know, an LGBTQI person does not necessarily need a special toilet. However, going to a male toilet might come with a risk of you being bullied inside a toilet and increasing the risk of you being discriminated. You know, how the processes, basically what I'm understanding from God's Hepagori, yes, they are interventions, but the timelines are not speaking to these interventions. You know, nothing changes that. But how long is it going to be?
I'm not so sure if I do get you on this one.
What I'm saying is the processes in terms of, you see, he's talking fella what government is doing. But now, one of the examples is that go to toileting. Is there something that could be suggested to make toilets safer for an LGBTQI person? He's asking it from Gore, what is government doing? Although, but anyway, it's all good. Because he's the government after all.
Yeah. What I know is that I'm going to give example of the Department of Justice. What I've seen is that it's male and female. We don't have toilets which indicate that gay or lesbian.
We don't
have that. I don't think we have that at this present moment. Maybe it's something that is going to be on a pipeline. I hope I will take it to Victor as one of the CSOs to say that these are the issues that have been raised. Are they having issues on that, or they are comfortable to continue and use the toilets that if you are gay, then you continue and use the male toilet and all the lesbian same thing. So, but I hope the our national task team is listening to this, because these are some of the concerns that you cannot answer here with a discussion with the committee at the national level, so that can be taken further for further either for approval or further discussion.
All right. Let's talk to Karabo, who is in Joburg. It seems the online listening is quite very popular. I believe Karabo might be coming from Limpopo, but he's based in Joburg, so he's listening via... Karabo?
Good day, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm great.
Welcome. If you can just speak a bit up so that Limpopo can hear you very well.
Okay.
It sounds perfect.
Yeah. I was just wondering, like, there seems to be some inclusivity issues regarding the LGBTQ. I just wanted to know, how do you bridge the gap? Because already South Africa is facing a lot of issues, especially also with racial issues. So I just want to understand, how do you then increase the LGBTQ? What is the government merge? How is it merging the current crisis? Because there's a lot of killings in amongst us as people, and we're doing it against those people because we feel like they're different. And even now, me saying those people is actually very wrong, because it's not supposed to be those people. It's supposed to be how do we promote a dialogue that is not toxic and is not as volatile to the nature of already a volatile situation.
Yeah. Thank you so very much, my bro.
Yeah.
All right. Ospet?
The only thing that I heard is the killings, the dialogue. Maybe perhaps if you can assist me on that.
Yeah, basically, he's to summarize it is to say, how do you bridge the gap? Because here's this community. In fact, I was talking to one guest while we were doing another program, because he was saying the problem is the labeling, the normal people, them versus us. Now, I think Karabo rightfully is asking, how do we bridge that gap where there is just a flow of human beings who do not identify easily by looking at each other and start calling a name because they are uncomfortable inside themselves? Where do we bridge the gap? Because government cannot do this alone. Rich communities cannot do this alone. Poor communities cannot. But how do we bridge and bring everybody and integrate everybody into one?
For me, what I would say is that it's not going to be easy. It's not easy even now. Reason being that, remember where we're coming from.
Mm.
Especially that our grandparents, our parents, never, majority of them have seen or experienced or have lived with a community that says that I'm gay and lesbian. That's the reason why we are where we are now. But the good part is that as South Africans, we are coming to the level of understanding that being a lesbian, there is nothing wrong with that. It's not like you're crazy, not like maybe you have done anything wrong. I think it's going to take a while, but we are on the... I believe that we're on the right track by living as a community that we are interacting with on a timelessly. It shows that we are going somewhere. Yes, there are still killings. I fully agree with him. We do have those cases in our province as well. We had, in fact, 2-3 days back, the deputy minister was asking about a case that took place in Benelington. Before COVID, we had a case where one person was killed. She was gay and she was killed in her own place, if I can recall well. And those are some of the cases in the province were still experiencing their stabbing and all those kind of things. But I believe that the community is getting information, being taught about the lesbian issues. It's not an easy topic to talk to, especially to the communities that it has a high number of traditional leaders, but we are going somewhere.
All right. Let's take probably the second or the last caller, depending on the response. Kopotso is on the line and is from Limpopo. I get to Limpopo, guy, but from Limpopo. Hello.
Hey,
Lawrence.
I'm listening from
ZBFM. I like the fact that you're from Limpopo. You are such a South African. Welcome. At least Gavin got to hear something, eh, Gav? Gavin Sedler is the one who's making sure that we are loud and clear to you. And thank you so very much. Welcome, Oskopotso.
Thank you. My question for Oskopotso today is whether there can be any action taken in a case whereby an LGBTQI person who is dependent on the parents gets kicked out for his sexual preference.
Utwile aus Patricia.
If you can, you can repeat that.
Oka bua le ene gape bua gape o skopotso.
Okay, my question is whether there can be any legal action taken in a case whereby an LGBTQI person who is dependent on the parents gets kicked out for his sexuality.
No, I'm struggling to hear her.
Okay, I'm going to repeat it. O skopotso, you listen on the radio.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so very much. Listening to Lindzula Sichaba. Lindzula Sichaba is ZBFM in Zebediela. She's saying, how does an LGBTQI person launch a case where you've been kicked out either by the parents or in, and now you find yourself only one? What happens? How do you assist and give support beyond just something that's on paper?
Unfortunately, Victor is not here. But what I know is that they have the... If you are kicked out by your parents or whoever you are staying with in your house or in your family house, they have... how do I call them? Shelters.
Oh, okay. Homes and shelters and, you know, those places where you get refuge and stuff.
But remember, there are organizations that are dealing specifically with LGBTI issues. So those organizations, that's where they come in, and then you will be placed in a certain shelter. They will be assisting you. I'm quite sure they will call your parents, family members, just to take them through. Hence, I've mentioned that it's important also to give counseling to the family. Remember, everybody in the family is affected. Hence, I said that we are coming from there. You can imagine where we're coming from. So it's not only the person, it's not only the person who's saying that, I mean, I'm in love with a woman while I'm being a woman. It's the whole family. The family or the parents might be shocked to say, what are you saying? I've never thought that you would be a stubborn. That's not what I gave birth to. What's all about it? Normally they will say those type of things. So that's when we come in with the counseling. Both Victor, they will come in with the counseling, and then now they will assist the whole family. They will work with the whole family. But you will be given an accommodation where you will be accommodated for a certain period. I know that it's up to a certain period. Then from there, I'm quite sure they will make a decision that now we can go back home and all that.
Most definitely. But what about go Teteleja Makado FM in Lüsterhard and... Tabo has a question. Tabo?
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I just have two questions. I want to find out from House Patricia in terms of what government is doing in trying to maybe raise awareness. Are they making strides in that issue, and what method are they using to measure that what we are doing is working according to the objectives they have about raising awareness around this LGBTQI community?
Mm-hmm.
And then number two, I want to know how far back is maybe issues such institutions like your churches and your belief system taking us back, because churches must play a role, and they too are convicted or have a conviction with regard to that. How are they working with this organization to try and mitigate and make them want to say, look, though you have your own convictions or your religious convictions, but this is what we need to do, because it's a societal issue that we all need to come on board for. And if churches say one cannot be a pastor because they choose a different sexual orientation, I mean, how are we looking in terms of those issues? Maybe your places where you have kings and Misanda, where they have some belief that a man must be a man and a woman must be a woman. Thank you very much.
All right. Thabo, thank you so very much. Ndikori Wagamanda, you just wrapped it up.
Thank you,
thank you, my brother. Have a good evening. Listen to Makaro FM.
Yeah.
All right. Ospet, I believe Thabo was quite loud and clear.
Unfortunately not. I tried, but unfortunately not.
All right. The first one, it's still government intervention. And basically, his question is, yes, we heard about all these interventions in the world. But now, how do you measure whether it's successful in terms of the interventions you're making? How do you measure the support if it's making an impact in the society?
Okay. The first thing that I can say is that when you are starting or coordinating a public education on LGBTI, I'll give you an example on awareness, you will see the resistance. You will notice that there is resistance, because you tell them that I'm here for this community outreach. It will be on the sexual orientation, gender identity, expression, and sex characteristics. And now, definitely, when you start explaining to them, some will say, what are you talking about? You are insulting us. But because you know that those are some of the things that you'll be experiencing at the ground level, we don't give up. We will continue. Half of them will support the program. Half of them might not support the program. But you will continue with half, and then you will conduct the event. On the date of the event, that's where you realize that even the other half that was not supporting the program, remember, now it's the main event. You have invited majority or members of the community. Then you will realize that even the other half that was not supporting, now starting to understand, when you are doing the presentation, starting to understand, they're even asking questions. That's where you start measuring to say, oh, now we are talking to it. We are on the same level. The understanding now is the same. Remember, we need to give everyone a chance. Hence, I keep on saying that we our parents, they never seen or experienced or had an opportunity to understand the LGBTI. Then besides that, we report on a quarterly basis to our national office about the number of outreach that we have conducted, the number of people that we have conducted, the type of questions that were asked, and all that. Then that assists us to give a report which say that indeed the community now start to follow what is it all about.
And lastly, Ospet, where can people who never had a chance or who are still afraid to express themselves, is there a platform where they can call, or they can send a social WhatsApp or on Facebook or anything, so that maybe you are also to keep in touch? Because it looks like one of the main solutions that people need is the interrelation between society and government.
What I can advise the listeners there is that we have organizations that they can contact. Victor Network, available is in Toyando. I don't know if I can give you the number, but if I'm able to give you the number right now.
Yes, you are welcome. It's for the purpose of the people.
All right, if you can work for me.
Okay. All right, you found the number already? Okay, as so long you're still looking at the number, let me just say, many people have been asking what the government is doing. Let me just put it in a few point forms. I'm not a government spokesperson, but I'm somebody who listens quite a lot. So this is some of the things I'm gathering. In March 2011, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development mandated the establishment of this national task team that Nalos Patricia has been talking about. That includes a provincial task team, Kolimpopo. Now, the department initiated engagements with government departments, you know, the Department of Basic Education. But although I'm still short of that mighty force from the police, law enforcement, but it's something that we, I would really suggest that one day we really talk about law enforcement with regards to the protection of LGBTQI community. And the National Task Team is led by the department and instituted by all these different departments we were talking about. And I believe part of the work of the entity is to provide strategic guidance. While Ronar Lebat, we need to learn how to take this strategic guidance to live the real life that we have to. Anyway, quickly, so Auspet, we've run out of time. And if you can just give us all the contacts if you're ready with them.
I'll give you two organizations. Richard Network, the number is 076-697-9016.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Limpopo LGBTI Proudly Out. The contact number is 015-297-0297 or 078-108-7717.
All right. Os Patricia ke tlo go leboga ka matla ile tota. Baya danki dikori buang Amanda. It's been quite very informative go ba lwana. And let's do more discussions and interactions related to not just between Mosotho Stone, Los Patricia, or just Salvation, or Kikana, or Karabo, or Hoputs, or Tabo, you know. Let it be more than that. And thanks to Os Patricia, and thanks to all the callers that I've already mentioned. And I would like to also thank my team, Unalin Namhlongo, on the telephones, as well as Gavin Sedler on the desk. Rialeboga. Thank you.